while that we do this thing called the Revised Common Lectionary, where we work through a 3-year cycle of readings. Did you all know that?
Mm-hmm.
It's fascinating. And so what we end up doing is we spend a year on each gospel. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John just kind of gets fit in there, here and there. Always disrupting the other gospels, like John is wont to do. And now we begin Matthew's year. We begin the cycle over again. And I have to admit that I often have found Matthew's gospel to be my least favorite gospel. We are ending my most favorite, which is Luke, which is why I have Luke in my household. But Matthew always feels so harsh. In Matthew's reading of Jesus, how we treat each other actually has a direct impact upon our place in God's kingdom. Now, even if we all get there, not just about whether we get to heaven, but whether we are high up in heaven or low down in heaven, depends upon how we treat one another. It feels sort of contrary to my theology that is so grounded in the understanding of God's grace in Jesus Christ. And yet, it is Scripture. And so we wrestle with it. Matthew speaks largely to a Jewish Christian community rather than a Gentile Christian community. And so Matthew tends to pull forward the words of Jesus that speak of Jesus not abolishing the law but fulfilling the law. In order to fulfill Scripture, you'll hear over and over again in Matthew's gospel. He also brings forward Jesus' words that reflect the Old Testament prophets who cried out for justice and spoke severe judgment when people acted unjustly. In fact, in my least favorite gospel is one of my favorite gospel stories, which is the story of the sheep and goats. "Just as you did to one of the least of these," said Jesus, "you did to me." When we feed the hungry, visit the sick, or imprisoned. And Matthew is always pointing to the ways in which Jesus' narrative is interwoven with the story of the Jewish people, beginning with the genealogy of Jesus' earthly father, Joseph, as we'll hear in a few minutes. Through Joseph, his adoptive father, so to speak, Jesus is in the line of Abraham, who had Isaac in his old age after many doubts. Jacob, who wrestled with God and was renamed Israel. And David, King David, the greatest king of Israel, despite some grave personal failings. And Amos, the prophet of God. But also in this genealogy that we hear at the beginning of the Gospel of Matthew is a strange sprinkling of women, of strange women, of outsider women. We have Tamar, who demands her place in this family tree by playing a prostitute to her father-in-law. We have Rahab, who was a resident of Jericho when Israel was entering to claim the land that God has promised, and she let in Israel's spies that her town might be destroyed. We have Ruth, a foreigner who clings to her mother-in-law and to the God of Israel even after her husband has died. And we have Bathsheba, though unnamed, the wife of Uriah, who by David's sinfulness becomes the mother of King Solomon. As you follow along the story of the church here, which is also the story of Jesus, notice the characters who weave in and out. And yes, notice this morning this strange list. For when you start to wonder where you fit into God's story, if you fit into God's story, know that you do. no matter how much of an outsider you feel, no matter how unworthy you think yourself, no matter how lost you feel, God invites you into the narrative, into the arc of God's story in Jesus, drawing us in every step of the way. In Jesus' name.